Well, I'm excited about Thanksgiving, you know, even though the Steelers are not going to play. they already played this Thursday, and they did very well, just so you guys know. You know, sorry, Titans fans. No, but I'm excited about family, obviously, and just getting some time off. And I'm also excited about what's going on tomorrow. I'm hearing from Pastor Atticus, there's 30 families that are going to be reached with food baskets. Is that correct? 30 families. Yes, let's give, you know, the Lord a hand. You know, and so that comes from you guys, you know, from your donations of food items, you know, like the turkeys, by volunteering to set them up, but also, just so you know, from your offerings. So all of us get to partake in this, you know, and what I really believe in my heart, one of the things that I would like Shiloh to do more and more is whatever we do, whether big or small, is that we do it together, that we do it, you know, with all of us involved. Yes. You know, God wants us to march shoulder to shoulder, you know, wherever He has us. Amen. Well, let's just have a quick word of prayer, as this is the last installment of the Blessed Family series. Is that all right? It's been a long ride. But I really want to pray, you know, for this send-off. I believe God has a message for young people, for young adults, yes, for teenagers, and also for even preteens. If you're in here, I really believe in this, and obviously the parents of them. So this message is for everyone really in here, but it's going to be more focused towards them. So let's pray. Father, we submit this time to You, Lord God. I believe You've already dropped some things in my heart, Father. I've done the preparation that I felt that You had me do, Lord God, Father. But even now, I just submit myself to You. Father, I cling to You, Holy Spirit, that You may lead me as I share today, that whatever is spoken, Father, will not fall to the ground, but Father, will hit the intended target, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, that You have a special, Father, item for everyone in this room, Lord God, Father, something that's going to be impacting and transforming and relevant, Lord God, for their walk today. So I bless everyone, Lord God, Father, and I declare the enemy bound, Lord God, and as our sister Sarah and Nelson reminded us, Lord God, through that vision, Lord God, Father, we believe, Lord God, that You've clothed us with righteousness, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. We choose to believe that it's already been paid for, and we don't have to walk in shame. We don't have to walk in pain. We don't have to walk in the lies of the enemy. In Jesus' name we declare this, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Well, let me look at the time. All right. I have quite a bit to cover, so hopefully I can get through all of it. I'm just excited about this message, but we have covered many foundational principles with this Blessed Family series. And we started talking, first of all, having submission to authorities, if you remember, how submission brings blessing and rebelliousness brings bondage. How being under spiritual covering by submission to authorities brings us protection. Remember that message was called Protected. It actually covered three Sundays. And then we had messages for men. We called men to man up. And we said, to man up, you got to kneel down, right? Then we had women of impact, right? We talked about the identity, really, for all of us, that we need to have our identity in Christ and not what other people say or do. And we had a message for, you know, for marriages, for couples, and we also had one for children. We talked about a cloud of future and how we really believe that children are such a big part of this ministry. Where we're going is prophetically was spoken to us, and we believe there's going to be such an amount of blessing coming to our body through our children. You know, we've seen the numbers of children grow, you know, over the last few months. You know, we believe it's just the work of God and as He prepares us for that. So let me just do a quick review, is that okay, of some of the things that we've covered. So we discussed how God designed us for a life of blessing. From the get-go, you know, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, it says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, what? Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And the first thing I want to remind you is that God made you in His image. And you have the DNA of God. And if you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not just in your physical image, but it's also in your spiritual image Hallelujah. There's things inside of you, you know, that God was wanting to trigger, you know, just like, you know, DNA does, you know, for something to grow, you know, inside of you. You know, you just got to get out of your own self. You got to get out of your own way, if I can say it that way. Amen. You have been created to be blessed, to be in relationship to God, and to have healthy relationships with others. You've been created to be successful and to have dominion. You have been built for success. Tell the person next to you, you've been built for success. But I must say, but sin came into the world and spoiled and distorted and robbed. The word tells us that Jesus then came to undo those works. Look at 1 John 3:8. It says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. To get us back to that original intent is the work of Jesus at the cross. God wants to bring you back to the center of His purpose. Because all of us somehow are a little bit off base. Like I was saying last week, all of us have a certain amount of haze and darkness in our lives, you know. And so we need the light of Jesus to guide us home. So when Jesus was starting His ministry as a 30-year-old, it says there that He went into the synagogue in Nazareth, the area where He was from, and He went and grabbed a scroll from the book of Isaiah, which over 700 years ago had a prophecy about Him. And He went in there and read it. Look what it says. Luke 4:16 to 20 says, He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as it was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then it says in verse 21, if you follow further along, it says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All right, and the people didn't really like that part. It's like, oh, so you're saying you're the Messiah? Then aren't you the carpenter? Haven't you seen you know, all around this parts for the last 30 years? And it says that then they took Him to a cliff, and they were going to push Him off. They were like, that's blasphemy. But it wasn't Jesus' time yet. And it says He just looked at them and walked in the middle of them and went on His way. Amen? You know, because He is the Messiah, and everything that He said was true. So let's look at these things that He said. He said five things about Himself in this scripture that are key to what I want to share today in the life of blessing. Number one, it says, Jesus said, "I am anointed to proclaim good news to the poor." I'm not talking about those that are financially or materially poor in this scripture. That's not what Jesus was saying. He's talking about those who are spiritually poor. And that's all of us. Right? Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Right? "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Right? He came to save us first. That was the first purpose for Jesus. He was anointed to save us. And if you're here today and you've not begun a relationship with Jesus, I want to tell you the good news that He came to this earth. He died on the cross and He was anointed to save you, to give you, to forgive you of your sins, to give you the life that God intended for you, and then to take you to heaven so you can be with Him forever. Amen? And then He said, "I am anointed to proclaim freedom for prisoners." And He wasn't speaking to those in jails or prisons, you know, made of, you know, concrete or anything like that. But He was talking about those who were bound by sin. The Bible says that he who sins is a slave to sin. Right? So He came to set you free from your sin, like we said before. Number three, He said, "I'm anointed to give recovery of sight for the blind." And while He did heal many blind people, He was talking about us who without His Spirit cannot understand the truth. That's spiritual blindness, which is worse. You know, when Bartimaeus, the blind man, was healed on the side of the road, he was blind physically, but even the people around him were blinded spiritually, and they did not understand why he was yelling at Jesus. They were trying to tell him, "Hey, quick, keep quiet. No, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy of me." You know, he wanted his sight back. In the same way, we all need spiritual sight. None of us can perceive the truth unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. You know, the world calls it being enlightened. You know, there's nothing wrong with that term because it is the light of Jesus that brings us to the truth. Amen? So then he said, I am anointed to set the oppressed free. And this is not talking necessarily about social justice, but it's talking about being set free from anguish, from anxiety, from fear, from shame. He came to relieve you of the burdens, you know, like Sarah was reminding us today, you know, of our souls and of our emotions. He wants to remove the pressure from your back. You know, that's being oppressed, you know, in the same, you know, as the same subject as pressure. Okay? He can and He will this day, if you will allow Him. And finally, He said, I'm anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is He talking about here? Well, here's to tell you that though there is a waiting process often, there's always a window of opportunity for you. There's always a window of opportunity for you. It's a day when the heavens part. A day when He says it's your time, you know, for your breakthroughs. A day for, you know, that change in your life that you've been wanting. You know, a season of freedom, of promotion, of uncommon favor. The year of the Lord's favor was when, yes, when He was born. And also the year when He died was another year of the Lord's favor, because then He resurrected and He paid for everything. The day of the Lord's favor will also be the day that we all get to go to heaven when He comes back for His church. Amen. When we're, you know, the rapture happens. And, you know, and then the day of the second coming will be another day of the Lord's favor. But there's a day and a year of the Lord's favor for you. For you. For each one of you. God has a specific plan. There's no one in this room that God does not have a specific plan for. He has known you since you were born. And even before that, He knew you, the word tells us. It says you've been beautifully and wonderfully made. And He has a specific plan. And we have wandered away because of sin, because of the sin of our forefathers as well. But God is making a way for you to come back to the center of His will. Amen? So today, the title of my message finally brings me to where I want to talk about, is about being rejuvenated. Rejuvenated, yes. And obviously, the word, you know, the suffix of rejuvenated, you know, has to do with juveniles. You know, sometimes we think of bad things or juvenile tendencies or juvenile hall or something like that. But it's just talking about being young, right? It's just talking about being fresh. And so, like I said, I want to talk to young adults, I want to talk to teenagers, but also to preteens. If you hear this message, is for you. What does rejuvenated mean? Well, it means to revive, to revitalize, to regenerate, to breathe new life into, to revivify, to re-energize, to reanimate, to resuscitate, to refresh, to reawaken, and put a new life into. And so God is wanting to do that in our young people. But I want to tell you that as they are rejuvenated, you know, the rest of the body will be rejuvenated. You know, and the church as a whole will be rejuvenated. Amen? There's something about what happens when young people begin to step into the call of God, into the will of God for their lives, and they begin to minister in the body, you know, whether it's something small or something large, it does something to the body. It's just such joy that comes from that. Amen? That's one of the fuels of the church, is to see children and young people step into God's plan for their lives. Amen? So I was a youth leader and a youth pastor for almost 20 years, you know, all of it here at Shiloh. And I've been around young people for a long time. And so I've taken notice along the way of things that they're worried about what motivates them, you know, about what inspires them, and ultimately about what they want. Young people, like I said, from preteens to young adults, they're influential. They want to be of influence. They're creative. They're energetic. They're powerful. Young people want to make a difference. They want to matter. They want to leave a legacy. This generation, more than ever, is very conscious of the legacy that they can leave. You know, the Generation X, you know, is the one that is kind of where the one where I came from. They said, hey, they're just an X, a variable, because they don't know what they want. You know, they're just kind of sitting for things, you know, to happen to them. But something's happened, you know, and we've studied generations in the past, and we've noticed that from every generation, if you're talking about the great generation, the one from World War II to the one from Vietnam, you know, to, you know, the baby boomers, you know, and then you have like the generation next, generation Y, and the millennials, there's always some kind of a backlash. They kind of rebel against each other, the preceding one. If generation X was this way, you know, the wires say, I don't like that. We're going to go this way. You know, and then the millennials say, well, I don't like that about the wires, so we're going to go this way. You know, and one of the things that we're seeing about the generation, you know, wires and the millennials is that they want to make an impact. And they want to do it quickly. They can't wait for it to happen. As a matter of fact, they want to get promoted quickly. They want things to happen. You know, people have called them the microwave generation. Come on, let's get this going. You know, want to pay me over $100,000. You know, that's I'm ready for the big, you know, the prime time. You know, so the extras weren't like that, but something happened. You know, the young people of today, they want to leave a legacy. They are aware of their legacy. One of the things about young people is they see through fake and hypocritical faster than, you know, that you can think about it. You know, they know when there's something else going on, you know, and you can preach at them, but they're like, I'm not seeing that in you. So, you know, I was telling, you know, Justin and Marissa, you know, just like I remind all parents, it's like the more is caught than taught. When we talk about our young people, it's like, yeah, it's nice that you're preaching about it, but I want to see some life in you. You know, so that puts the onus on us as the older generations is that we want to be living for Christ, you know, to the best of our ability, you know, and live the rest to God. Because, you know, less has to be preached if you're living all the way for Jesus. Amen? All right. So young people know that there's something better out there. You know, I knew that all along growing up. It's like, there's got to be more, you know, and it's still in my spirit. And even Pastor Joseph, you know, I'm sure he still says, God, I know there's more to be attained. There's more revelations to be seen. You know, we want to see the miracles. You know, we want to see, you know, people raised from the dead. We want to see revival on the streets. We want the church of God to go out there and just, you know, like in Acts 17, turn the world upside down. Turn the world upside down. You know what? In this generation, something's happening. Young people are making a huge difference. Forbes magazine recently started doing this thing called 30 Under 30. Have you guys heard about that? 30 Under 30, where they basically look across, you know, the young people of the United States, you know, whether they're Americans or not, but in this realm, and they say, who are the 30 most influential young people? And so if you look at Forbes magazine, the 2018 list just got released. And I just grabbed three names from that. I can't list all 30. But I thought there were some very interesting cases that I wanted to point out to you. So there are different age groups here. And I'm sorry, I don't have, for some reason, I didn't notice. I didn't pick a girl. I'm not trying to make a message by not having a girl up there. You know, these three are guys. You know, but just so you know, look at what they're doing. Okay. So I want to look, first of all, at Joseph Fasson. Okay. This guy is 23 years old, and he's the CEO of a Pilot Fiverr company. The full name is Pilot Fiverr. He's not a pilot, you know. It's just the name of the company. He skipped a senior year in college to become the IT director at a startup in New York City. The company is so promising, it has already raised $32 million. And what they do is they take all the leftover fiber optic, you know, the companies don't use, and they've created this better than ever fiber optic cable that, you know, your internet service provider that you have, whether it's Cox or Comcast or whoever you have out there, you know, they said the average you get is 18 megabytes per second. I know we all hate it because they say 18 megabytes and then you get like five and you're like, what's going on? And you're like buffering, you know, what's going on? So young people care very much about internet speeds. You know, can I get an amen out there? Okay. Well, old people care about internet speeds. Can I get an amen out there? older people. So it says that this company is delivering 10 times, 100 times, and 1,000 times. If you go on their website, they have a package that's $2,500 a month, and you'll get over it. You'll be like in the 10,000 megabytes, you know, per second speed for your business or for your home. Can you imagine that? You know, pay $2,500 for internet. By the way, let me just say something. if you nowadays, let me give you, this is for the parents. Let me give you, teach you how you got to handle the millennials. If you want to ground them, you don't send them to the room or ask them to look to the wall. No, you change the Wi-Fi password. That's what you got to do. You change the Wi-Fi password. Hey, what's going on? My tablet's not working. Well, you're grounded. You're grounded. You know. All right. Let's look at the next one. Aaron Edwards, 25 years old, special projects editor of The Outline. It's an online magazine, and it's a really vibrant colors. I was like, not like any magazine I've ever seen. But they really pride themselves that they put out messages that nobody's saying about things that are going to impact the world. Some of these guys are not godly people, so I'm not necessarily endorsing, you know, some of these people. But I was just really cool that 25 years old, he's already been on the founding team for BuzzFeed News. If you probably some of you have seen that. He's already been a news producer for Digital First Media, and he's been a reporting fellow for the New York Times. 25 years old, you know, is making a huge difference. And let me just say something, you know, Chuck Ferguson, you know, a few years ago, I don't know if he's here today, but he did a series for teenagers called Do Hard Things, based on a book written by these teenagers, these twin brothers, you know, Harris is their last name. And the premise of this book is that the teenage concept is really a myth. It's a lie that we bought into, that there's this period of time when teenagers can be goofy, you know, and then there's no repercussions. They don't have to do anything crazy or good, you know. And so for some reason, the generation wires and the millennials have already kind of broken that myth. They're stepping into things. They're willing to even skip college, to skip, there's like this kid, the senior year, to go and do great things. They want to make an impact. Isn't that crazy? So we have to let them. We have to let them. You know, sometimes when people have made mistakes, you know, we treat them as the person that made the mistake years ago. But that's not grace. Grace allows us to see the potential, to see the future in people, you know, no matter what they've done. Amen? God is a God of redemption. So we have to let people, all right, do that. So let's look at the last one. 16 years old, Peyton Robertson, an inventor. He already holds 5 patents and he's 5 years old. He has a sandbag to combat seawater flooding, a bike with retractable training wheels, and among some of his inventions. And he's the youngest winner of 2 of the most prominent STEM, you know, awards, you know, have to do with science, technology, engineering, and math, you know, in the country. You know, in the same year, he won the STEM Education Award and the 3M Young Scientist Challenge. You know, 16 years old. So can young people do amazing things? Yes. They can leave you behind. You know, it happens. So millennials, Generation Ys and Generation Xs are even changing the way that companies do what they do. They bring young talent and encourage creativity. The companies allow millennials to wear what they want. They can have lattes on the house. They can have massages on the house. They're convinced that this drives productivity and frees up people to be creative. Even some churches have adopted this model. Did you guys know that? This is one of those really large churches. One of them that's really pioneered this was Stephen Furtick's, you know, Elevation Church in North Carolina, you know, to the point that they became the number one employer in all of the Charlotte area. They had the most favorable reviews of people wanting to work for them than any other business in the area. Isn't that crazy? You know, and they've really done some very creative things. So, like, while you're working, other people are paid to fix cars, and they'll fix your car while you're working. You know, they basically create like a system where, you know, you're serving each other, you know, and serving the church, and just going out there and doing great things for God. Isn't that amazing? We're not ready to adopt that just yet. Okay, we're going with you. So. They capitalize on every type of talent. And it's incredible out-of-the-box thinking, in my view. Google and Apple are leading the way in this area, you know, just like these churches like Elevation Church and Live.Church. Live.Church was the first church to say, hey, you know what, we want to be an internet solution to people. There's people that just go to church online. That's where they first get plugged in before they actually visit a campus. Did you know that the largest group of churches is Live.Church in America? They have over 100,000 people attending their services. You know, they start in Arkansas and now they're all over. They're even in other countries. And if you go to their website, all their resources are free. All their teaching materials or their images or their videos, countdown stuff, you can grab all of these. So take note, Tamara, if you ever need to grab something for free, go to live.church. Get an account. It's all free. They believe in the Bible app that you have on your phone. How many of you have the Bible app? How many of you know that the series has been on the Bible app? If you go to events, you know, it's in there for you to follow along. I don't know if you knew that, but if you go to the events section of the Bible app, you actually have the notes, some of the scriptures and some of the notes in there for you to follow and take your own notes. Well, that Bible app is made by live.church. They have a saying, we will do anything short of sin to win people to the Lord. That's their motto. We will do anything short of sin, you know, to win people to the Lord. And so they're living that. So we have to know that things have changed a little bit. And so young people are the focus of marketing campaigns. People want to grab the attention because they know that's where the money's going to come from for generations to come. So even products that in the past used to be geared just for adults, let's say beer or let's say cigarettes, you know, or things that you say, well, that's only for adults. Now they're marketed to children. If you go to, you know, the mall and you go by the Victoria's Secret store, you know, which, you know, I'm upset about that they have this people in their underwear facing outward, you know, and you get to walk going there. It's like, well, you know, we call it bouncy eyes, you know, like, okay, all right, you know, and so. The people that they have in there, they look like they're like 13 years old, you know, in underwear and lingerie, you know, because they know that if they grab you when you're young, you're going to remain loyal to the brand, you know, until you die. It's all about brand loyalty. So there's different strategies that these companies have. Okay. Like I said, first of all, is brand recognition. If you know their logo, you know, if you sing their songs, their jingles, then you're going to stick with them. You know, if you have the choice from one that you recognize the logo and one that you don't recognize the logo, you always gravitate towards the one that you know the logo. You know, I went to Louisiana, and they'll tell you, we love CC's coffee, but I was used to Starbucks, so I went to Starbucks when I was in Louisiana. And they will tell me, no, CC's coffee is better. Well, I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to Starbucks, you know, it's just what we do. So everybody here can tell what those are, right? Those glorious golden arches. You know, you see them from afar on the highway. It's like, that's where we're stopping, kids. You know, at least we know what we're getting. It's not amazing, but at least we know what we're getting. You know? So the other strategy they have is brand loyalty, like I said. And people to the point that they will wear a T-shirt with a logo, and they're actually advertising for free. For those people, like I have the Nike logo, check it out, Nike logo, or a Starbucks logo, or, you know, whatever logo, and they're just so happy that you're such a loyal fan, okay? They also have a multi-tier approach, is another thing that they see. They'll have like a, oh yes, we have the Disney Channel, and then we have the Family Channel, which is not called by ABC, called the Freeform Channel, because you guys didn't know, and then you have ABC sitcoms, you know, which are for, you know, slightly more mature audiences, I would say, like, you know, past 10 p.m. type audiences, even though they show them at 6, you know. And then you have ESPN, and it's a family of brands. They all belong to the same company, and they're going to get you, you know, oh, ABC. Did you know that if you log into ESPN, it's the same login for all those? For Disney, for, you know, ABC? Yes. They got you, people. They got you. All right, they got me too. So, here's another one that gets a little more serious. Sex. All right? You used to be able to keep sex in the fringes of society. If you remember, there was a red light district. Young people are like, I don't even know what that is. You know, there was a place where they had like the, you know, that type of service provider, you know, in town, right? They would have certain channels, right, that you had to pay extra for, or, you know, if you wanted to get them, or you had to go and rent a video, you know, you have to go to a special place. Usually everything was boarded up. You couldn't see inside, right? There are certain ratings, right? You know, like GPG, you know, now they have like TV-14, mature audience, R, you know, NC-17. I don't even know what they all mean, you know. But the point is, like, you could be watching a PG movie and have a sex scene. You're like, what would just happen? You know? Our whole society has become so sexualized. And now, for those of us who grew up without cell phones, I mean, I can still say that. I'm 43. You know, there was a time when I didn't have a cell phone. You know, and if you have to call somebody, guess what? If I was traveling, I'll get you on the other side. You know, I'll maybe, you know. And now they came up with beepers. It was like, okay, now a leash on me. They call it the leash, you know. And but some of us were there before these things happened and are able to compare and contrast and discern the effect that it's having on us. But your young people today, they're born into these things. They've never known anything other than all these technology and all these strategies. They just think that's the norm. That's the way it's supposed to be. Society is supposed to be sexualized. Okay? If you've been following the news, there's been a tsunami load of women declaring the media, TV and social media, that they were at one point or another sexually abused by some very prominent people. Have you guys seen that? I'm not talking about dozens. I'm talking about hundreds, even thousands of women coming out in Twitter, you know, Facebook and Instagram, you know, on the news saying, hey, look, 1980, so-and-so, I'm not going to name some of the names. The only one I will mention is this guy named Weinstein. I don't know how you pronounce his name. He was a Hollywood producer, mogul type, that had so much power that he demanded the women do sexual favors for him in order for them to get jobs in Hollywood. And he did it for years. People knew about it, and nobody did anything about it. So because of that scandal, all of a sudden it became like a trickle effect. People begin to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, yeah. And they call it the hashtag Me Too. If you go anywhere, you see hashtag Me Too, it's some woman saying yes. You know, when I was 17, you know, the mayor, you know, of my city, you know, he molested me. Or, you know, when I was, you know, this age, you know, Judge Moore is in trouble right now. You know, Senator Al Franken is in trouble right now. I said I wasn't going to say some names, but I guess I am saying them now. Just because they're so prominent, they're in our face. These are, you know, a senator wannabe and a senator. You know, these are the people supposed to be the standard bearers of our nation, and they're the very ones that, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, one has accepted that it happened, the other one still has not accepted, you know, so we're going to let the justice do its course. But so the people that are making the movies and the television and the people that are supposed to be regulating the stuff that your children is intaking, and not just your children, but you yourself, are people that themselves are operating in a spirit of lust, that are affected like lasciviousness, by sexual immorality. And then wonder, how come they're allowing these ratings? You know, how come the FCC doesn't do this? And it's because of themselves, the very people at the top. They have hidden sins of sex, of sexual types. So it is a spirit that's deeply embedded in the media that you and I consume. And like I said, it's all about the ratings and the viewership. And I'm going somewhere with this, people. Just stick with me. I know this is very sobering, but you need to hear this. Okay? If you can draw people to watch you and it can make your product popular, then people will pay the marketing cost to sell their product. They're not just trying to help you or something like that or make you happy. People are not famous for just simply being famous. They've never done anything noteworthy or special. They've never won anything. They're just famous for being famous. Certain family that starts with a K, I'm not gonna say who they are. Now, any one of you can start a YouTube channel. And if you make videos that people are attracted to, start getting hits and hits and hits and hits, somebody's going to sponsor you and pay you to do that. People have left their jobs just to make YouTube videos. Have you heard of Dude Perfect? These guys, all they do is just do trick shots. Yeah, it's like get the ping pong to bounce here, there, and fall into the cup over there. Woo-hoo! Pringles is sponsoring them. You know, there's multiple companies that are paying them to just be dudes. You know, just be dudes. The Evie family is another one. family. I don't know if I'm saying it correct. I may be mispronouncing it. It's family in Canada. It's become so popular. So the problem is, like I was saying, is that it comes so fast at us, you can never sit back and discern, what am I taking in? There used to be just 5 to 7 channels. Now there's like 200, 300 channels. I don't even know where I have to pay for so many of them. I still watch the same like 4 or 5 channels. You know, I just want those 4 and 5. You can just get rid of all the other rest. So here's what I want to get to. Young people, you're bombarded by media, social media. I'm talking about, right now, some of you have a cell phone. Probably, maybe every single person in this room has a cell phone. You know, Josh will say, no, I don't have one. Good. You know, you're not supposed to have one yet. But how many of you have been reading the Bible on your phone, and all of a sudden a message pops up, bing, and all of a sudden you get distracted? And then, you know, you're trying to read some more, and an email comes in, or a Twitter feed, or an Instagram picture, you know, or a text message, you know. Something comes in, and it just becomes so immersive. And you think, well, that just happens once in a while, but the problem is that it happens all day. This is a strategy from the pit of hell, is to keep you distracted and busy all the day long. These are supposed to be tools that are supposed to make us more productive, but instead they're robbing us of our time. Now they're having things in like leadership, you know, summits that we went to. They're calling it white space, you know, right? You know, basically, hey, it's like a innovative idea. Hey, let's make some time, but we're not really doing anything. We're just sitting there and thinking. And somebody's making a lot of money with that idea. You know, hello, we used to call it prayer, meditation, sitting in front of the porch, you know, going to the mountains and just staring at the wonders of creation. Who does that anymore? No? It's like, and let me tell you, there's a saying amongst Christians that says, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. Anyone heard that before? If pastors struggle with something, you better know that it's twice as strong in the crowd. Does that make sense? You know, if I'm struggling with a sin, you better know it's going to be out there. I cannot minister that which God has not delivered me from. Does that make sense? And if I struggle, you know, with social media where, like, I'm distracted by it, you know, I'll go from ESPN to Facebook to Twitter to Instagram to my soccer app to my email to my text messages. Wait, hold on. Let me check back on ESPN to Twitter, Facebook. I don't have Snapchat. I can't bring myself to do Snapchat. You know, I have little faces, you know. Is that the one with all the little faces? You know, young people know what I'm talking about. All right? So just know that this is a strategy of the devil, and it's a strategy rooted in the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. People are trying to get money from you, and they want to get your kids' attention from while they're young. And so they're, because they were born into it, they're not able to discern its power over their lives. Mark 8:36, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? So you got to be careful. For, I want to say, young people, I know you're wanting to make a difference, but you got to be careful that you don't follow after some of the examples of the people that are the celebrities out there, you know, and in its process, lose your own soul. Our church needs to be rejuvenated. To be rejuvenated, you know, you have to get some passion in you. You have to be re-energized and moving. And it may sound bleak what I'm saying, but look at what Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 say. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right over standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, I really believe that God is going to rejuvenate, is going to re-energize our young people. And while they're now in our society. I know that it seems like the sound keeps cutting out. But even though sin abounds, I believe that God's grace is going to be greater than ever. It's going to overpower young people and love God more than they love the social media. They're going to love God more than distractions. They're going to love God's presence more than anything that the world can offer. And it's going to impact the whole world. Because, you know, that's when God gets all the glory. When it looks the bleakest, when it looks like... And this is definitely impossible for man. But the Word says that that which is impossible for man is possible to God. Amen? Amen. This is the hardest generation to grow up in. But God's grace will overpower sin. We want young people to step up, to rejuvenate our church, our preteens, our teenagers, our young adults, even young couples. Let's get rejuvenated in God. So I want to finish the rest of this time talking about three things that are the biggest threat to your future. The biggest threat to your future. And I really want you guys to pay attention. I know this is for young people, but it really applies to all of us. Okay? So I'm going to show you a quick slide. Number one, having the wrong definition of success. Number two, not making time to seek the Lord. And that's where I was going with all the media and all this stuff fighting for your attention. And number three, getting ahead of what God has for you. Getting ahead of what God has for you. And I don't know if I can say all the things that I have here in my notes. I still have quite a bit. And it's already 11:52. So I'm going to try to, you know, summarize this. I may have to, you know, come back and have another message for young people in the future. But having the wrong definition of success. Let me just say, success is not what your friend says or what your favorite celebrity is saying. If celebrities were so good and so happy, then why are they shooting up drugs and committing suicide and breaking up their marriages, you know, and going to therapists and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists? You know, you just look at the gamut. So don't follow the formula for success that celebrity have. Okay, let's look at the word of God says. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And it says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Step back. Make some time to meditate. Make some time to think about what's going on. Ask for the old godly way. Another version calls it the ancient paths, is what it calls it. And walk in it. Travel its path. And what? And you will find rest for your soul. You will be satisfied. You will be happy. Young people, if everybody can, let me get your attention, please. You need to get this. Don't follow this, the formula for success that the celebrity world has. You need to go back, you know, to what God intended. Why? Because the deep down needs of people have not changed. Society may have changed. We may look different, dress different, talk different. Our culture may have changed, but guess what? Deep down inside of you, you have the same needs that people had 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. That has not been changed because God designed it so. And only God can fulfill the deepest needs of our heart. There is a void in our hearts that only God can fill. Young people, listen to me. Do not follow the formula of success that the world has. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel, it says, for you will find rest for your souls. But it says here, but you replied, no, that's not the road we want. I hope that that is not you. Jesus met a woman on the way back to Jerusalem, but he was stopped in Samaria. You guys know the story in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus told a Samaritan who was lost in her sin, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Only Jesus has life, has the living water for you, for any of us. Verse 13 then follows and says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Will never thirst. I am sold. I've tasted the goods. I don't need to look at other religions. I don't need to look at other philosophies. I don't need to go and try something new. I don't need to be a thrill seeker. I don't need things to give me, you know, adrenaline rushes. Because you know what? Being in ministry is the biggest adventure I ever, you know, could ever. I don't need to jump out of a plane, you know. Following after Jesus, He'll take you to other countries. He'll take you to the highways and the byways, and you're going to impact the world. How do you want to do it? Choose the path of life. Choose Jesus. Number two, not making time for the Lord. You know, the problem is that God is a gentleman and He speaks to whisper. Why does someone whisper? It's because they're close. Because they're close to you. So God is close to you. Matthew 4:17 says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You don't shout when you're close. Acts 17:27 says, His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. Though He's not far from any one of us. He's not far from you. But the problem is that there's so much stuff coming into your life that's taking away the times for you to step back at the crossroads and say, God, what do you want from me? What are you saying to me right now? Young people, sometimes you got to take off the headphones, you know, for a second. You got to turn off the phone, put it aside. You know, there's times when I just put my phone aside, my iPad, my computer, and I just use the good old trusty paper, you know, and I go somewhere and read, and then I'll put on some music, some worship music, and I'll play low, not too loud, you know, so it doesn't drown what God is trying to say to my life, doesn't distract me, and I'll just worship Him, you know, and I found that, you know, like Moses, this is a heavy burden to carry a congregation on your shoulders, because I'm not just a person that stands up here to preach. God has given me a shepherd's heart, a spiritual burden over your life. But unless I go to God constantly, and, you know, I will not be able to break off the pressures of life. But when I go in there, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you, you know, the desires of your heart. Psalm, you know, 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Yes, and I begin to hear His voice. And He says some gentle things, some loving things within my heart. And those are the things that power me through. So that week after week, I want to make a difference. Young people, you want to be of impact, you need to make some time for the Lord. You need to make some time and you need to turn off some of the distractions. The grace that God is going to afford this generation is going to be found in being able to push away all the clutter. Push away all the clutter, all the noise, all the buzz feed. And that's one of the things that this generation mostly has not found. I mean, I can go on YouTube and watch, you know, great preachers all day long, but you know what? It only goes so far. I have to turn them off. And I have to go connect with God. That's really what He wants. Yes, He will speak to me through the YouTube video. He will speak to me through those Twitter messages of the very selective few I've chosen to follow. Get great, you know, witty, wise sayings that feed my soul. But ultimately, the greater wisdom is not one that's communicated in so many words. It's just that impression in my heart of the peace of God. And the love of God. And the acceptance of God. And that my future is secure. And no matter what happens, I know where I'm going. Young people, that's where you will find the grace to be great. And the last thing, getting ahead of God. And one of the biggest ways we try to get ahead of God is in our sexuality. There's so many ways we try to do it. But I just want to say that the time that you're single is the greatest, most impacting time that you will have in your life in the kingdom of God. You know, I've seen many people, and I know Angela did it, you know, Ryan, you know, before they were married, my sister, Anna, which I'm going to talk about here in a second, before they went to college, they went and set some time aside, you know, to go to Bible school. I said, God, I kind of know where I want to do with my life, but I'm going to take away this year. Carl did it too. Carl even went on a sabbatical from work, getting good pay as a GS employee. He said, you know what? I want to know what God has for my life. And he took a time, you know, 1 year away of wages and went, you know, into an internship in Louisiana because he said, you know what? I want to know what God has for me, you know? And so Instead, people were trying to get ahead of God and trying to make things happen. You know, and now we have teenagers having sex and trying to buck the system and breaking away from their parents because they think, you know, they're not smart enough or cool enough or whatever, you know. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. There is a wisdom there. God put them there in your life. You need to trust that God put them there for a reason and that there's a blessing in it. Okay, do not get ahead of God. You know, when Abraham got ahead of God and had relations with Hagar, you know, his concubine, he had an Ishmael. And to this day, they're having problems with the Ishmaelites. You know, when you get ahead of God, yes, God will redeem your life. He will forgive you of your sins, but there will always be consequences. There will always be consequences if you get, you know, ahead of God. You need to wait for your time. You need to wait for your time. I didn't get married till I was 34. Okay? And so, I just want to finish with a verse and then I'm going to give you a quick testimony. Is that okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 and 11. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And then verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful, what? For its own time. Are you hearing this, young people? Everything is beautiful in its right time. Even the right girl, the right young man at the wrong time is wrong. And we'll mess up things. You need to wait for God's timing. And not everybody's the same. So people can get married at 18. So people, you know, will get married in their 40s. You know, but that's God's timing for their lives. And there's a reason. There's a purpose in it. You just need to, you know, trust God in it. Okay? He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope. People cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. None of us can see where this is all leading. There was times where it was difficult. I wanted to get married. Why is God, you know, why am I not getting married? Why haven't you sent me a girl? Why don't I have this situation in my life? Why can't I get this type of job? You know, how come I'm not a pastor yet? How come I, you know, this and that? And then God will speak to my heart and say, hold on, I have a plan for you. It's because step number two, I made time with God. And He would reassure me, you're not late. So don't try to be ahead either. You're on schedule. Wait for me to move. And, I mean, obviously one of the greatest blessings in my life is my wife. I don't even know where she's at. She disappeared on me. You know, so I can brag on her. But, you know, I waited till I was 34 and it was so worth it. So worth it. You know, so here's my testimony. And I don't want you to show this picture yet, Mark, until I give this testimony. I want to brag a little bit about my sister, Anna. Is that okay? She's the youngest of four. She was saved as a young girl, less than 10 years old. I don't know exactly when. She was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. She had great grades in high school and all through school, really. She kept herself pure. She went to Bible school at Texas Bible Institute. She came back and served in the ministry. She had a Bible study that even my wife attended. And even Jorge's wife attended that. You know, she's been a great impact to all of us. And, one of the greatest desires of her life was to minister to children. She just had a call to children. Her dream was to open an orphanage. And more than that, she wanted to be a wife and a mother. She wanted to be a wife and a mother. And then she accepted God's call to go to South Africa twice. She spent, you know, one time 9 months alone in South Africa working with children who either had AIDS or who were there because their parents had died of AIDS. Actually, some of the kids didn't have AIDS, they were HIV positive. But their parents had died sometimes of AIDS, and that's why they were there in this orphanage. Yet she waited for her man, she waited for her time, but it would not come. There were some young men that came into the picture, but somehow God closed the door. She started getting older, into her 30s, and still no relationship. Then my dad died, but she was still faithful. My grandmother, who lived here, decided to move back to Mexico. My mother wanted to take care of her, decided to move to Mexico. And then my sister, always honoring my mother and my grandmother, decided to move back to Mexico with them and to take care of them. And she has been a source of strength for my mother and grandmother. And right away, she started serving in a church down there in Mexico, in the children and the youth ministries. And she even got to help to open an orphanage while she was there in Mexico. And finally, in her late 30s, her season of breakthrough came. Her season of favor, the year of the Lord's favor came in her life. She started working at a prestigious university in Mexico, got to travel to Europe because of them. They paid for her master's. She met a young man at the church, and they hit it off, and they got married, and she then got her baby, and they got a beautiful house. And I'm telling you, it is as if God just had just withheld all of the blessings for her for one small season in her life, because it just came in a flurry. And you need to know that God has a different schedule, different itinerary for each one of us. But you need to know He's in the scene. He has not relinquished, you know, the job of Lord. And He's in control. And sometimes you may have setbacks and things that you don't understand, but God is still in control, and you need to trust Him. Okay? But in all that time, she never ceased seeking God, worshiping Him, serving others, sharing the gospel, honoring my mother and grandmother, and staying pure. Even then, what she wanted was to serve Jesus. And I just want to show you a quick picture of what her life looks now. So you're blessed. God makes no exception of persons. You can leave it up there. Because I want you to visualize this, young people. There's so many things that you guys want for life. You know, a great career, marriage. You know, to just make a difference, of children maybe, to travel. God knows your desires. God knows your desires. You just need to leave them at the feet of the Master and say, God, I surrender my life to You. You make it what You want. You know, there's a song that says, I want Jesus at the wheel, or something like that. I think Kelly Clarkson sings it or something like that. But some preacher says, really the way it should be is like, Jesus, here's the key. I'm going to jump in the trunk, I'm going to close it, and then You take me wherever You want to go. You know? That's really how it pretty much goes, right, Pastor? Not where you thought you were going to be, but wherever you are. You know, it is amazing. It is a blessing. Can anybody say amen in this place? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for being patient this morning. I know it was a lengthy service, but I want you to have hope for young people. I really believe God to rejuvenate our young people. They're going to come to the altars and they're going to worship. They're going to raise their hands. And they're going to hear the voice of God like never before. They're going to submit their lives to Him. And He's going to take off the lies and the sins and so many things off of them. We just need to let them. Just like we have said, let the children come to Me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It also belongs to our young people. Every great revolution of the 20th century involved young people. The Bolsheviks, you know, World War II, even the Nazis used them. Teenagers were going to war all through the decades. Even the terrorists convinced young people to die. Because there's passion in them, because of the desire to make a difference. And they'll go on and do some crazy that they believe in. You know, so we need to let them flourish in their passion for God. Amen. Let them be rejuvenated.